Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Not singing to us, are they? I mean, y'all are good looking and all, but I mean, they ain't no, we ain't going to sing. They ain't singing to you. This isn't a serenade. This is a worship service. We're singing to the Lord. We're the choir. They're leading the choir. The Lord's the audience. Y'all ready? Yeah. Let's pray and we'll sing. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here in this building. You provided, Father, in a relationship you've provided. And Lord, we love you for being strong when we are powerless, for being who you are, for being God when we are ungodly, and for being loving as we are sinners. And Father, we give you all the praise and we love you. Thank you that we live in a place where we can gather freely in the name of Jesus and sing as loud as we want and proclaim every word of the Scripture without fear. Protect us, Lord, and help us to take advantage of all the freedom you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your glory. Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Amen?
Amen.
This morning we have the privilege of coming and singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was all the way from ever, who is, and always will be." Isn't that good news this morning? When we sit here on this earth, there is so much pain sometimes. There is so much struggle sometimes. But the good news of Jesus Christ is not only has He already won the victory, but He tells us what it's going to be like when we get to celebrate and rest with Him for all of eternity. And He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. He's done away with death. It's over with. And He's going to reign. The Almighty God and King forever and ever and ever.
I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms.
You go ahead and be seated. Hey, this week is when we scheduled to recognize our graduates, but we had to make some changes, and we did a presentation last week. But as I look through the crowd, I see some folks who need some recognition and some graduating. So I'm going to ask if you graduated, just before we take the offering, I'm going to ask if you come up here. If you just recently graduated, yeah, I knew I was seeing some folks. Come on up. You already graduated. Look, Daquan, you were up here too already. That's all right. Get double recognition. Come on up. Come on up. Did you just graduate too from something? He graduated to World Traveler. Hey, y'all, y'all knew him as Jonathan Taylor. Now he's World Traveler. See? He's on the move even now. You see that? I watch him. He's been in California. He's been in Georgia. Have you not been in California? Florida. Which is like California, just in the south. I'm shutting up now. But y'all, I'm going to have these. Everybody just kind of, just introduce yourself. Just say, give us your name and a plan that you have for after graduation. Even if you don't have one, just make one up.
My name is DeMarcus Brown. I'm 18, and I might be writing music.
Awesome. Man, we'd like to see some of that.
I'm Philip Cook, and I'm going to play football at Itawamba Community College.
Ooh. He's a little brother.
Anyway. My name is Abby Cheek, and I'm going to Holmes Community College to nursing school.
Ooh, all right. No, you stood up here.
No,
you going to usher out? You got any different plans?
No.
Okay. Daquan, you got the same plans?
No.
Well, you got? Okay. Introduce yourself and tell us your plans.
My name is Daquan White, and I'm going to cooking school at the Culinary Institute of America.
Culinary Institute of America. Between everybody, we're going to be entertained, taken care of, and well fed. You know, it don't get better than this. Hey, y'all, let's give them a hand. And I'm going to pray for y'all. Y'all go ahead and be seated. I'm going to pray for y'all and the offering, and then we'll take up the offering now. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for these young folks who followed through on what started probably, really it was a lifetime ago for them. It was so long. From the time they entered kindergarten to now when they're proceeding on. Lord, having finished high school, bless them. Provide all their needs, Lord. They're going to need physical and financial help. Mental, physical, emotional, mental help. They're going to need spiritual help. They're going to need the help of a supportive family and community and church. Father, they're going to need help. And we ask that you would help them. Bless them. Thank you for them. And Father, for this offering, we just give you thanks and praise. And we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Class. Ready, break. There go the babies. Pretty babies. Always be glad that Christ Community Church has a full family. We got great grandbabies and great grandpas and mas and moms and pops and sisters and brothers. Look at that little bean running right there. Little Abigail running. Oh, it's just good. That's good. That's good. That's good. It's good to be in the house today with everybody. Golly, I had something in my mind, and now it done went out. Hey, but it's all right. It'll come back. Lord does those things. Ah, I remember now. I'd like to recognize our one, our only. I'm telling you, a man who here really needs no introduction because he loves the Lord. He loves his family, and he loves Christ Community Church. He knows that there's a purpose here for his church, and when he gets a chance to preach, and that's what he preaches on, faithfully from the Word about how we have a purpose. I believe he's probably our biggest champion and cheerleader over these years. I still wouldn't want to work against him because he's still one of the hardest working people that I met. I tried to outwork him one time. We were chainsawing some trees, and we were supposed to start at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I got there about 10 to 8, you know, and he already had all these trees fell, and he's all, John, I decided to start early. And I got out there with my chainsaw, and I started cutting trees down, and about 15 minutes in, I started asking, "Hey, man, you need a break?" He said, "No, John, I'm good." I said, "All right, I cut a couple more trees." I said, "You sure you don't need some water or something? Just take a little break." He said, "John, do you need a break?" I said, "Yeah, let's take one. Come on." Didn't take long. And so y'all know who I'm talking about. It's our very own Christ Community Church's own Methuselah. I mean, L.G. Schmitz. And guess what? Today's his birthday, and so let's give him a hand. He's also a veteran. He served our country, and in the Air Force. That's right. He also has a size 32 pants. Now I don't know about that. I'm just throwing something out there. I'm just spitballing. You know, but I asked this question out on the patio today. Who wants to be 82 years old? And you know the answer is somebody who's 81. You know, LG turns 80. I'll tell his age. He's not that modest. You know, he turns 82 years old today. Isn't that cool? Yeah. He'll forever be one of my friends and heroes, but forever will be a hero that God used in the formation of this church. So if you've been touched in any way by the ministry of Christ Community Church, be thankful for those like LG who prayed and who gave and who endured. He's not the only one. There's several. There's many here in this congregation, but he's the poster child for them, you know. And, of course, he's got a sidekick back there who has been personal nurse and every other thing back there, Miss LG. Miss LG. Hey, Miss LG. She's not even looking up. Hey, Miss Kit. There we go. Miss Kit Schmitz. Also a veteran. And her son, a veteran. And her other sons, who aren't here. You know, it's a veteran too, a Marine. Oh, man. Anyways, y'all, that part of what we're doing today is just recognizing those who served and being grateful. We're not going to embarrass anybody but the Schmitz family at the moment. And I was going to say we're not going to embarrass anybody, but we already did. And I'll embarrass my mom. For y'all don't know my mom, this is Veronica Goldwater. Her grandbabies call her Vivi. I call her Ma. Her friends call her Ronnie. And that way, if she ever gets caught by the law, she's got aliases built in everywhere, you know. And but she wins the drive the farthest to church award, about 850 miles from her house to this house. And I think that's pretty good. You know, that shows some dedication. So anyways, Ma, we're glad that you're here. And all our guests, family and friends, we're glad that you're here too. Today's a day to remember. Whenever somebody or a group of people or a country or a team, in this case we're talking about a country, does something and the people in service of that country do things that are worthy of honor and respect, that are great things, that show uncommon valor. Which to me is whenever somebody signs up to say, I'm going to do something that I know may require my life, but I'm going to do this for a cause greater than myself. I'm going to voluntarily risk myself in this way for those that I love in a greater cause than myself. I think we're looking at something that ought to be remembered. That ought to be, we ought to take a day and say, this is the day we say thank you for what you've done and for who you are. And we're going to do that today, but we're also going to compare that. We're not going to downgrade it, but we're going to use that commitment of our soldiers to shine a light on the great love of our Savior and of our God. And we're going to compare and say, this is what great men and women have done in the service of our country, and they are worthy to be remembered and honored. But we're going to say, this is what our great God and Savior did, and He's worthy of worship and surrender. Okay, so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 6, 7, and 8, and then just go back through them. Romans 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love, His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to come together to worship, to give offering, to give recognition, to give honor to who is due honor. But Father, to recognize that You are above all, that You are worthy beyond all of praise. And so, Lord, help us this morning to give You that and to give honor to those who are worthy of honor. We love You, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. First, we're just going to go through these verses, 6, 7, and 8. And the first thing I want us to do is just remember the Savior. Remember how awesome He is. Remember what He's done for us, okay? The what that He's done for us. It says here, Christ died. But let's look at it a little closer. He died at the right time. Notice how this verse starts. You see, just at the right time. Just at the right time, while we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Y'all have heard that word kairos before. We've talked about kairos meetings, kairos prison ministry. I hope that's a ministry that I would like to get back more involved in and drag some of y'all with me. You know, going into parchment and talking to these guys who are doing time. But that word kairos, time, means God's timing. It's not like chronological time, like looking at your watch saying, hey, it's, you know, 11:40. You know, that's chronological time. What we're talking about is timing. It was at the right time. Christ came at the right time to give His life as a sacrifice, to fulfill all the prophecies of the Old Testament, to be in a place to where the good news about what He could do and what He had done could travel across the known world. He came at the right time. You know something personally I know about Him? I know that He'll never be early and He'll never be late, because He'll always be on time. Right there on the... You can count on God. You don't want to count on God just to get your plans done, but you can count on God to be the Savior you need when you need Him. I can tell you that personally in my life. He came to me at the right time. People had tried to probably tell me things before in my life, but I wasn't listening. My ears were closed. Wow, it's weird to preach like this. Let me take off my glasses. I'll be deaf and, you know, blind and deaf. So, this is how I went through a majority of my life, even when I went to church, which wasn't real often, or even when people tried to tell me things, which wasn't really often. It didn't matter. I was closed. I was not hearing. I was not seeing. I was not wanting to understand. But right in the middle of building some lifelong bad habits, Christ came to me. The gospel was shared with me when God knew that my ears were opened and my eyes had been opened. Right at the right time, He came to me. Is that same time for me the right time for y'all? Oh, God knows though. God knows when the right time is for you and for me. That's the kind of Savior He is. He comes to us at the right time. He comes to us while we're powerless. Powerless. Have you ever felt powerless? I don't want to spike any bad feelings or pull a scab off of anything, but sometimes we can get victimized in such a way that we feel like we're powerless. You know, sometimes it's in a circumstance of financially, or sometimes somebody literally does something that violates us and we're powerless to stop it. It's not a good feeling, is it? Y'all listen, before God, we're all powerless. But I don't want you to walk away with a hopeless feeling about that. I just want you to recognize it. We're powerless. The greatest of us are powerless. The richest of us are powerless. The most mighty among us are powerless before God. Imagine this. Imagine people wanting to impress God. And we took the 1,000 most wealthy people on earth. The most wealthy. Whatever, whoever they are. You know, there's a list. There's people always keeping track. This person has 8 billion trillion and that person has 8 billion trillion in one. You know, and they're always competing and they know who's got what. Take the 1,000 top. Have them meet with God. One on, you know, just that 1,000 meet with God and they write a collective check. How big they got to make that check to impress God? How much money they got to give God before God says, okay, you right, you right. Yeah, thank you, man. You come on in here. Come on in. That's a lot of money. How big a check would the 1,000 richest people in the world have to write to impress God? What if all the government powers got together? They all collaborated. Unity on earth. We're going to come together and we are going to make a treaty with God. God, you accept us, all the human governments of the world, and you allow us to do our own thing and we'll give you some influence. Is God going to bow to their demands? Is there going to be a treaty between God and all the governments where God compromises? You mean all the governments of the world would be powerless to make God move one iota off of His standard? Yeah, they are. They're powerless. That's what you were meaning. I'm with you, Smiley. All the governments of the world are powerless. What if all the governments got mad because God wouldn't make a treaty with them? And so they got all their military strength, all their nuclear weapons, all the bombs, all the boats, all the planes, all the guns. And they say, all right, God, we're ready for a standoff. We're going to make you accept us. How would that work? You know, if we go to the end of this book, there's a little battle called, a little battle that's going to take place in a place called Megiddo, Har Megiddo, the Mount of Megiddo. We call it Armageddon, where all the armies of the world want to say, no, God. Who's going to defeat them? The armies of God? Is this like Lord of the Rings? You know, where a wizard shows up on a horse and gathers. Is this like the Avengers? Where, if y'all haven't seen Endgame, I'm sorry, but, you know, but big circles made by wizards open up and an army runs through them and tackles death. If you didn't know, Thanos is death. That's what Thanos means in the Greek. It's death. Is that who's going to defeat death? Or is it the Son of God going to say one word and all the armies of the enemy are gone? Hey, we are powerless. Even in all our strength gathered together, multiplied by a trillion, powerless against God. But what does it say that God, who didn't have to help us, chose to help us? What does that say about Him? We are powerless. We are even worse than powerless. Did you see what it says in the end of verse 6? Christ died, while we are still powerless, Christ died for who? The ungodly. The ungodly. Here's maybe my biggest contention with denominations, religion, and tradition. We make it seem like God loves the good boys. The good, well, you know, for God to love you, you're going to have to behave. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to dot that I, cross that T, watch that step, do these things. Then one day, maybe God will love you. That's not the gospel. The gospel is we were powerless and we were ungodly. What does it mean to be ungodly? God is love, you are not. God is light, you are not. God is wise, you are not. God is helpful, you are not. God is powerful, you are not. God is moral, you are not. Isn't that what it means to be ungodly? It means to take whatever God is and say, I don't have those characteristics. God is holy. We're not. Yet, Christ died for the ungodly. Y'all, I don't say that so we'll wallow in our ungodliness. I don't call us sinners so that we'll continue to commend ourselves to sinful ways. I tell us that to say this. There ain't nobody that our Lord Jesus won't save because He came for the powerless and the ungodly, and He is the best. He's the best. Let's turn our gaze for a second to verse 7 and think about our soldiers. Listen to verse 7. I think this is a great verse in honoring those who've risked their life for their country and for the people that they love. It says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. So in verse 7, He's talking about regular human love and motivation. He said, most of the time, you're not going to get somebody who volunteers to turn over their life for anybody. Whether they're a righteous person, maybe for a good person, they might dare to die. But it's rare. It's not common. Y'all, I think we ought to treat those who serve as rare and not common. And we ought to honor them. They are rare. They're not common. They're willing to lay down their life. You know how many wars the United States fought? I get these figures from Wikipedia, Google search, different things like that. So if I'm wrong, it's because they were wrong. But I bet you it's close. How many wars has the United States fought? About a dozen. Starting with the Revolutionary War. Okay, that's where they're starting. From that point to this point, about 12. You know how many people have served in those wars? all together, not those who have died, but those who have served in the United States, not just in wartime, but in peacetime, those who have served the United States saying, I will sacrifice my life, if need be, in defense of this country and the people of this country. 57 million. 57 million over the history of our country. 57 million seems like a lot. But now if you go all the way back to the Revolutionary War, that doesn't seem like a lot. It's barely more than the population of California. California has about 40 million people in it. And over the span of this country, 57 million have put their life on the line, you know, potentially, to say, I'll serve our country. Again, I think it's a rare and uncommon thing, and they ought to be recognized and remembered. You know how many died in service to our country? I got this as up-to-date as I could. 1,450,808. 1,450,808 have died in the service of this country. This verse gives us an insight. It says, rarely will someone die for a righteous person. Someone might even possibly dare die for a good person. I believe those who serve this country saw in this country a worthy cause, a righteous cause, and good people. They saw a righteous cause and good people. If there's no other reason, and this is a little bit of, this a little bit of a rabbit trail, if y'all allow me. If there's no other reason for nationwide reform and revival, it's that people will continue to think this country is a righteous cause full of good people worth fighting, living, and dying for. We ought not forget that. We ought not become a people where it's hard to recruit somebody to stand up for us. Whether that be in law enforcement or that be in the military, we ought to be those kind of folks that say, hey, yeah, I see in that country and in those people a worthy cause to lay down my life if need be. Okay? That's humans need motivation like that. We ought not be naive and think, well, everybody just served because they just, you know, had this hero inside them. They may have become heroes, but I'm telling you, they were serving because either some of them served because they had to. But they went out and they served. I got to imagine because they thought there was a cause worthy to fight. A righteous cause and for good people. You know, in the Civil War, this nation lost over 2% of its population. Over 2%. Do you know what that would be in our time? That would be like 6.5 million people. You know, that's what 2% of our country right now would be. What a cost. Then we had World War II. Almost 500,000 people. World War I, there was over 115,000 people. It's incredible when we think of it and we go through. In the Korean War, there was about 54,000 people. In the Vietnam War, there was just under 60,000, 58,000, 59,000. Not to count those who came home with diseases they didn't know they had. Last time I saw my uncle, Dave, who was a combat veteran in Vietnam, I didn't recognize him. He was big-boned like me. And he'd wear a watch. One of them stretchy fake steel watches, you know, with the stretchy bands. And his flesh always seemed to be sticking out the bands. It's like when I wear them, you know, they're just too tight. When I saw him, that watch was able to fit over his forearm, around his elbow, on his bicep, and it was underneath his armpit because he had become so frail from the cancer that had eaten him up. He was a Marine. They said go, and he went. He didn't think about what he might come home with or what if he was even coming home, but there was a reason for him to do it, and he ought to be remembered. My grandfather on my dad's side, he was born in Germany. He moved here when he was 8 years old. His daddy fought with Germany in World War I. He came here with his kids so that his kids wouldn't have to fight war anymore. All his sons were in war. All his sons were in war. Oh, but you know, they did it because they had the idea. I'm not saying every single person does, but they had the idea this was a righteous cause and good people. It makes sense. Now, without taking away their sacrifice at all, without belittling it at all, I want to show you how our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of more than honor and remembrance, but worthy of worship, praise, and surrender. Look at verse 8. In light of our folks giving their life for a righteous cause and good people, this is what it says about our God. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, not good people. Not a righteous cause. He didn't come here because He saw the apple of our eye. He didn't come here because He said, oh, I have to, or oh, they deserve it. He came here because He wanted to. He died on the cross for us because He loved us. Not for what He would get in return, not for a righteous cause, not for good people, but for sinners like you and me. Can you imagine if there was someone you knew who had all the wealth of heaven and earth and was without sin, and He said, I'm going to die for you. Are you telling me you wouldn't try to talk him out of it and say, brother, I'm not worth it? How could you, the best, die for me? Not even close. It's not worth it. And He said, you don't even know. Remember what He said on the cross? Forgive them, Father. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know what it is that buys their peace, what brings their freedom. They don't know it's not about them yet. It's about you and how much you love us. That's a day to remember. When the Father told the Son, we're going to take that hill. What hill? That Calvary hill they call Golgotha, where they kill criminals. We're going to take it. And Jesus said, you're right. We're going to take it. And the devil and even the apostles tried to say, there was another way. There's got to be another way. You don't got to take that hill. And He said, get behind me, Satan. We're going to take that hill. And when we do, we'll save them all. We'll save them. We'll get them. We'll make a way where they were powerless and ungodly and sinners and could never make a way. I'll make a way. I'll take that hill. He took that hill. He gave His life for you and for me. Because He loved us. Y'all get it? I want to look at one word before we go into the Lord's Supper. It's that word demonstrates. Y'all have heard the word love, agape, before, and how it's God's unconditional love. That was the motivation. But what I want you to see right now is that word demonstrates in verse 8. But God demonstrates. That word means to stand with. It's like to invite a crowd of people up here and say, hey, y'all, listen. Look at this. Stand next to me and look. Look at the great love I have. Look at what it is. Look at how powerful. Look at how strong. Hey, if you're here today and you've never looked at that strong, powerful, gracious, fervent love of God, I'm going to invite you. Come look. Look in. Open your eyes wide. Realize who it is He died for. Realize what it is He's done that no one else could do. And He did it for you and He offers it to you as a gift. Come and stand and say, yeah, wow, we're going to do that. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to do that. We're going to stand with each other. We're going to stand with the Lord in this place. And we're going to recognize His body was broken for me. His blood was shed for me, and I belong to Him. And I want to say, thank you, Lord. I love you. That's what we're going to do. You know, I think when we have a time like this, Memorial Day, when we have the Lord's Supper, we have church, I pray every Sunday could be us standing together looking at what Christ has done for us. What a powerful thing. What a powerful reason to meet that is. So, whenever we have a day like this, We need to be asking ourselves, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? This might seem silly to y'all, but I'm glad to get on that motorcycle and ride wherever I want in this free country because it's been provided for me. Does that make sense? Man, I feel it. I rode it today. If y'all saw my back, it's all sweaty and everything, you know, full, but it don't matter. Ain't no air conditioning until you get by trees, and that's the only air conditioning out there. But it's fun to ride, and it's fun to preach and be free. But I'll tell you what we're going to do because of what Jesus did. We're going to take that Lord's Supper. Before we do, we're going to have an invitation. The invitation involves this. You don't want to come and take, you don't want to, don't pretend about the Lord's Supper. Don't say, yeah, man, I don't want to seem awkward. Look, man, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you come on up and celebrate, stand together and say, thank you, Lord. But if he's not, just, we're going to give you a time to ask him. It's not complicated to get saved. It's not easy because Jesus paid an awful price. But it's not complicated. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Man, can I tell you? I'm talking about days to remember. The last two Saturdays I've been involved in wedding services, which has been really cool. It's been a great honor. But it reminds me of a day to remember. Reminds me of my ring. You know, I put this on 19 years ago tomorrow. I stood across from, yeah. Y'all applaud for Sarah. She's got the tough part. And so on May 27th in the year 2000, it was supposed to start at 2, but there was actually a traffic accident. We had to wait, and we had people coming from across town. So I don't even know what time it actually started, but 19 years ago, tomorrow, in the afternoon, I stood across from her, and she stood across from me, and we made vows to each other, and we put a symbol, took a symbol of those vows, and we placed them on each other's fingers. I bought her an expensive one, and she bought me a cheap one, but that was agreed upon. But it's the same cheap one. This cheap one's still cooking. And but I want to ask you this. You don't have to remember the exact date and time. But was there ever a time when you gave your life to Christ? If you want to know, am I ready to take the supper? Or if I'm not, ask yourself this. Was there a time when you gave your life and surrender to Jesus Christ? The supper is just a symbol, like the ring is a symbol. It symbolizes having communion, having a relationship with God. But if there's never been a time where you have given your life to Christ, maybe today's that day. I'm going to pray and we're going to have a small invitation. But if you need to give your life to Christ, or if you say, John, I just don't know if I ever did. I think maybe, but I can't remember. I don't remember it specifically. You don't have to remember the exact date and time, but you need to know if you have or if you haven't. It makes all the difference in the world. So if that's going to be our qualifier. If you have, you come take this supper. If you have not, why don't you do it today? Okay? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here, to take this supper, to hear your word, to sing your praise, to honor the veterans and those who have stood up for us, to honor our graduates who completed a task. Lord, it's a good day today. It's a good day. And we just want to say thank you. But Father, if there's any here who have not at any time committed their life to you, surrendered their life to you, Lord God, I pray today would be the day. They simply could say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you. I know you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead, and I want to be yours. It don't even got to be those words. Just that heart of surrender to you so that they will be yours, and you'll be their Savior, their Lord, their God. Help them right now. Y'all just take a minute, just a literal minute, and do whatever business with God you need to do. Father God, thank you for loving us again and for all that you're doing. I pray you bring it to completion. Father, glorify yourself in all of our lives. And Lord, we see in you the one who goes beyond needing a good cause or a motive or any other thing except for the love that resides in you. Thank you for sharing that love with us. We give it all the praise. Give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask the fellows to come forward who are helping me this morning. What we'll do is we'll come down two aisles. You'll come to the bread first and then the juice, and there's little cups to throw the juice in. But let me say this. I mean, this is the end of the service, okay? So when you get done with this, I mean, you can go back and get stuff. You can go hug people. You can go sing. Man, go sing a hymn. You know, when they had the Last Supper with Jesus, they left, it says, singing a hymn. Or maybe you want to sing another song. Maybe you want to sing, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say doth that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen. Hey, they blame me for starting out too high. I didn't even know anything was going to get started. Hey, that might have been the weirdest song to have communion to. So I'm going to say this. You remember that even living here is a gift from God. Yeah. All right. All right. When we take the Lord's Supper, we remember the night that Jesus was betrayed. On that night, it was the Passover they were celebrating, and they had unleavened bread just like this. And when it passed to Jesus, Jesus took it, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." Father God, thank you for the body broken for us. We were powerless to make our way to you, but through the broken body of Jesus, you made your way to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Also on that night, he took the cup. He took the cup after supper. For y'all who have been to Christ and the Seder banquets, you remember the cup after supper is significant. The cup after supper stands for redemption. He took the cup of redemption, which all the Jewish people there knew what he was doing, what that cup stood for. They had been doing Passovers their whole life. Jesus takes the cup of redemption and says, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Take, drink this. Do it as often and you know as often as you do this, remember me." That's what he said. I knew he said something. But can I tell you? When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, "This is the covenant," that's strong, y'all. God is not a covenant breaker. He's a covenant keeper. The covenant, the way to God, is through the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us again. I pray that as we take this cup, we'll remember that you paid the price. The scapegoat and the sacrificial lamb wouldn't do. All the cattle in the universe being slaughtered on the altar wouldn't do. There had to be one perfect lamb of God
to take away the sin of man, and it's you. And we thank you, Lord, for the relationship that we can have through the blood of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Randy, his blood was shed for you because he loves you. And his blood was shed for you, and his body was broken for you because he loves you. I'm going to get it right.
Yeah, you got it.
His body was broken for you, and his blood was shed for you because he loves you. Go ahead. His body was broken for you, and his blood shed for you because he loves you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I used to not like taking the communion because I thought it was just an add-on and it seemed just not the thing to do. But can I tell you, I love doing it now because it reminds me that as a preacher, as a pastor, as a Christian, I ain't got nothing better to offer than the blood, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. This is it. So when y'all come down here, I mean, be respectful of the rest of the folks taking it, but this concludes our service after you're done. Come to the bread first. Yeah, you'll come to the bread. Yeah. And then to the juice. Just the opposite way of what they're doing it. No, I'm just... yeah, bread first and juice. And y'all, come on, come to the closest one. Yeah. Bread, then juice. Bread, then juice. His blood was shed for you.